How's it going? This week we're doing some experiments in the new custom-built state-of-the-art UCD Centre for Experimental Archaeology. We had the stone mapping on Monday, and on Wednesday we're going to be firing some pots in a fire, not against the wall. The plan is to bring in the early medieval souterrain ware pots that we have made and see if we can fire them in an open fire. This is the way it would have been done in early medieval times. Souterrain ware turns up on lots of early medieval archaeology sites. It seems to have been quite common from the 8th century onwards, and they're not difficult to make, although mine looks like a flower pot with some fancy designs on it. These pots would have been handmade, as pottery wheel didn't arrive in Ireland until the Normans came. Souterrain ware probably wouldn't have had any designs on it, except maybe a cordon, which is a horizontal strip of clay, and was probably more for holding the pot than for making it look nice. It was used for everyday cooking, so it's not a high-status pot. We can tell this from the blacking and sooting on the pieces that we find. Back in the day, pottery would have been classed as a specialised craft, but these pots looked like they were made by kids, so we might have to rethink that theory. It took me about an hour to make the pot, and I'm useless at arts and crafts. I actually spent more time getting the temper ready than making the pot. My experiment to see how much temper is the best for the clay that I was using. The clay I used is modern processed stuff, 6 kilos of quality grey marl that was probably made in China. I could have went and found some marl in a local riverbank and used that, but there's a fair bit of work needed to get raw clay ready for use, so I decided to skip that step. That is a whole other experiment that involves soaking clay, burning off organic stuff, and mixing it to the proper consistency. It sounds like a lot of hard work, and my experiment is focused only on the temper. What is temper, you say? Temper is the stuff you mix in with clay to make it withstand the firing. Pottery making involves a drastic change in the molecular structure of clay through the use of heat. Basically, the soft clay becomes hard pot, so it's classed as a big technological breakthrough, like agriculture or the iPad. Anyway, part of the process involves mixing in small pieces of stuff to the clay. You can use anything as long as it works. The purpose of the temper is to stop shrinkage and help the clay withstand thermal shock. Shrinkage is caused by water and clay evaporating in the fire. Thermal shock is like the head gasket blowing in a car or throwing cold water on a hot glass bowl. What is going on with science is that the outside surface is under compression forces while the inside is under tension due to extreme temperature fluctuations. When it is cooled, the opposite happens. This is why pots fired in an open fire are covered in ashes and left to cool down gently. Otherwise, they just explode. With pots that were used for cooking on a daily basis, they would need to be able to withstand quite a bit of this, otherwise you would be making fresh pots every day. So you'd want to get the mix of temper right in your clay. Too little and you'll have porridge all over your lap. Too much and the clay will become too crumbly to even hold its shape. Actually, you could have another experiment to see how different types of temper respond to that cycle of heating and cooling. My experiment is to do with the optimum mix of seashell used in clay. I wanted to use seashells as a temper because we have pots with them used in the archaeological record, and I fancied the walk along the beach on a sunny day, and I wanted to be able to get the mix right in the future so that I could do other experiments with some actual pots that survive the firing process. No point designing an experiment and not having any pots to experiment with. I collected enough seashells to use as temper for about 20 pots. I didn't know this at the time. I washed them to remove sea salt and then crushed them up with a hammer. Crushing seashells is a pain. I wished I'd decided on sand or grit or something instead of seashells. It took me ages. I was going to use a hammer stone to do it, but I left that for another experiment when I realised how difficult it is to crush seashells. If you whack a seashell too hard, it explodes and you will be left with nothing except a tiny piece of dust while the rest of it has ricocheted everywhere, probably into people's eyes and their food if you're doing it near them. But you do need to whack it, otherwise it won't break. So I found the perfect motion, and guess what? It's sore on the wrist. You need to tap the hammer on the pile of shells sharply and swiftly in order to get the seashells to the required size. Oh yeah, they need to be a particular size. I found that out when my first batch was way too big to allow the clay to be worked without ripping the skin off my hands, so I had to throw that batch away. I found that 2 or 3 mil was the best size of seashell to mix in with clay. So there could be another experiment there to look at how different tools deal with making the temper. Once I had a temper that I was happy with, I could stand for my experiment. I made 5 small bases with different percentages of temper included, ranging from 0 to 50%. I masked these and left them out to dry over the stove for a few days. The plan is to fire these on Wednesday and see which mix gives the best results. I also made a pot for the crack, and I just fired in a random amount of temper using my intuition. I think I got this wrong because the pot is already cramping just from drying out, so I don't imagine it will survive, but it was fun to make. Tune in to my next podcast to find out the results.